Today we are going to read from Gospel according to Luke, chapter 9, verses 57 through 62. I'll read from NASB, New American Standard Bible. Verse 57. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." And he said to another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father." But he said to him, "Allow the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God." Another also said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those at home." But Jesus said to him, "No one, after putting his hand to plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." Well, the Luke writes this aspect of this event, and Matthew also writes and describes this same event. From Matthew, we have two persons engaged with Jesus. But here, Luke, there are three persons engaged with Jesus regarding that discipleship of Jesus Christ. The background from Gospel according to Luke chapter 9 is this: Jesus and his inner circle disciples, James, John, and Peter, went up to high mountain in northern part of the state of Galilee. And Jesus transfigured before their eyes, and Moses and Elijah appeared suddenly and talked with Jesus about his impending suffering in Jerusalem. And a voice from heaven out of bright cloud came to the ears of those three disciples, including Jesus. "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. I'm well pleased with him." And then, suddenly, they fell to a kind of trench. Meanwhile, Moses, Elijah went back to heaven. Now, Jesus returned to the remaining disciples with three inner circle. And they began to take their journey to Jerusalem. According to what Jesus said, it could be his last journey to Jerusalem, because he already clearly told them was going to be betrayed, and tried, and will be crucified by the leaders and Gentiles. It is in the middle of their journey to Jerusalem, where Jesus and his disciples were supposed to celebrate the greatest Jewish festival, Passover. That's the background against this event on their journey to Jerusalem. I put the title, "Who is fit for the kingdom of God?" As Jesus said, verse 62. No one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Once he put his hand to the plow, then he should not look back. He's behind. Look back, things he left behind. So, from these interactions among Jesus and two disciples, to be exact, and one would-be follower, we'll see how it benefits us who are true disciples of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' days, there are many teachers, Bible teachers, so-called scribes and lawyers. They were teachers in local synagogue. Nowadays, could be Bible teacher in local Christian school, high school, that level. Verse 57, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." This could be the would-be follower. Let's take a pause. In Jesus' time, so many disciples follow Rabbi. One used to be John the Baptist. Another one, Gamaliel in Jerusalem. Here, Jesus, another rabbi. Specifically, nationally renowned rabbis' disciples were called never pupils or students. They were disciples. In Hebrew, Talmid, for plural form, Talmidim. To those specific group of followers of rabbi, we called Talmid. Jesus had 12 inner circle Talmidim, disciples. But here, the outsider, Matthew specifies he was a scribe. It means at least age 30 years and up. Also married a person. He himself was called teacher by his students or local attendees to local synagogue. Highly regarded, well honored by local folks. But he himself came to Jesus saying, "I will follow you wherever you go." This scribe, as outside, he saw Jesus was highly regarded, respected. So he's attracted to Jesus, that honor, great honor Jesus enjoyed. And his Talmidim, disciples, share such honor with Jesus. So he's attracted to such honor and seemingly easy life associated with Jesus. So he came to Jesus saying, "I will follow you wherever you go." It means I want to be your Talmid. I am teacher, but now I want to be disciple to you, Rabbi. And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man," it means from Ezekiel and from Daniel, "the Son of Man is designated to coming Messiah." So Jesus, pointing to himself, self-claimed Messiah, has nowhere to lay his head. wow, what is this? To such honorable would-be follower, Jesus very clearly says, I do not think you are ready to follow me. That's what Jesus is saying. Because this Bible teacher, scribe, has been used to a quiet and easy, comfortable life, enjoying teaching life, enjoying honor by those students and students' parents and local town folks. Thus, he was not well prepared to endure reproaches, poverty, wandering vagabond lifestyle, and persecutions, let alone the crucifixion on a tree, the cross, the ugliest form of the great humiliation and shame. Instead, the scribe wishes indeed to follow Christ, Jesus of Nazareth. He dreams of an each honorable life with Jesus. They're staying filled with every convenience and comfortable things. The more eager this scribe is, the less he is prepared for such hardships associated with Jesus and his disciples. This scribe seems as if he wished to fight in the cool shade under the scorching sun and at ease. There is no reason to wonder that Jesus clearly rejects such person's request. Like this scribe, some people rush on without careful and thorough considerations. When they met uneasiness of any kind while following Jesus, what's going to happen to them? They will be distressed by such uneasiness. By associating with Jesus, they could be under attack. Under the first attack, they will give away, cowardly desert their discipleship. Besides, this scribe might have sought a place in the family of Christ's discipleship circle in order to live at his table without expense, to feed luxuriously without his own labor. Let us therefore look upon ourselves as warned by Jesus. In this person, let us look at ourselves, our inner selves. We should not be eager to live comfortable, easy life while we follow Jesus Christ. Without thought of cross or affliction, there is no way to follow Jesus Christ as our Rabbi and Messiah. So Jesus, through this would-be follower's request, teaches us, are you ready to deny yourself? So that is the first qualification, who is fit for the kingdom of God. Are you ready to deny yourself? Matthew chapter 16:24. if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself. That first thing, all would-be followers of Jesus Christ have to do, without denying themselves, they would not be admitted to Jesus' discipleship program. Now, Jesus looked at his own disciples, those who are already in the group of Jesus' disciples. To that disciple, Jesus says, follow me. But the disciples said, Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father. This is where the majority Christians categorized a person like this. The majority of 21st century Christians belong to this specific group of people. Yes, we call ourselves disciples of Jesus Christ. We bear his name, so we are called Christians. But when Jesus comes to us and commands us, saying, follow me, what could be our response? Unlike the scribe who was outside and who want to be disciple of Jesus Christ, but Jesus cut him before entrance exam because he is not even qualified to apply for exam. But here, those who passed that first entrance exam and admitted to Jesus' discipleship school. But here, Jesus turned around, looking at them squarely, and pointing out what disciple and commanding him, follow me. It is awakening from slumber. It is revealing what's really in the inner heart of that specific disciple. When Jesus calls him, commands him, follow me. Even he himself was following Jesus thus far as being called the disciple of Jesus of Nazareth. But still Jesus pointing to him and commands him specifically, follow me. Here, his inner thought is totally revealed, open to the public. Here, he has to confess his own desire, saying, Lord, permit me first to go to bury my father. That is the deepest desire that specific disciple had all along in his heart. This disciple was prevented from immediately obeying the call of Christ by the weakness of thinking it a hardship to leave his father. Back in his mind, his that filial piety, so-called, duty as a son, duty to his own father was the first in his mind, not Jesus' command. Jesus' command became secondary. His filial piety, duty to his own aging father, was his first primary concern. Even though he is admitted into Jesus' discipleship school, but still back in his mind, his true desire was to take care of his own father. Jesus judiciously, wisely, bluntly revealing that deep, deep-seated desire from this person, this disciple. And he has to confess his deep desire. Physically, he's following Jesus, but in his thought, his heart is with his aging father back home. Actually, it is much probable that his father was in extreme old age. For the mode of expression, he says, "Please permit me to bury my father." So implies that he had about a short time to live. Luke says, Christ ordered, commanded him to follow me. While Matthew says that he was one of his disciples, but he does not refuse the calling. He only asks, "Yes, Lord, I'll follow you. I would not refuse your calling. But first," in Greek, protos, "first, Jesus, you are second to my heart. My first is to my Father. Leave for a time being to discharge my duty that I owe to my Father." This excuse bears that this disciple looked upon himself as if he had his own free will, liberty, until his father's death. From Jesus' reply, we learn that children should discharge, perform their duty to their parents in such a manner that whenever God calls them to another task, they should lay their filial piety set aside and give the first priority, first place to the command of God here, Jesus Christ. Whatever duties we owe to our parents or our neighbors must give away when God commands us. When Christ commands us what is immediately due to himself. All ought to consider what God requires from us as individuals. What is commanded by our particular calling. Our earthly parents may not prevent the claims of the highest and only true Father of all from remaining duties. So, first tablet says, "You shall not have any other God before me," should prevail. The second tablet, "You shall honor your father and your mother." When those two commands are in conflict, we definitely follow God the Father's command first, then performing our duty to our parents or our needy neighbors. Jesus gives us a warning that you should not withdraw yourself from the right course to follow Jesus as his disciple. Whatever slows us down on our road deserves no other name than but death. That's what Jesus said. The dead people, let them bury their own dead persons. Because those things keeping us slow down on our following Jesus in the right course, Jesus called death. If we have such death in our heart, putting it first priority over against the command calling of Jesus, we should repent of such mockery and turn around and follow Jesus, putting him and his command a first priority. We should devote all our thoughts, every part of our life, to obedience to God and His Christ. We should not devote ourselves to pleasing men by forgetting God's special particular calling. Otherwise, we'll be like dead men who are idly, uselessly employed in taking care of the business of the dead. Verse 60. Jesus told him, allow dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, I called you to be my disciple. Now, remember your special office, preacher, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God. Very shaky preacher, but Jesus encourages him. Remind him of his initial calling. And Jesus does not reject him. For the time being, he was shaken by his innermost desire to serve his own aging father. But Jesus gently corrects him, reminds him of his initial call from Jesus, saying, go and proclaim, not bearing your dead people's business, proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God. This call is a gracious, merciful call for that shaky disciple. And it should be beneficial for that person. For the time being, he was hesitant, devoting himself to God's calling. From now on, he is chastised, rebuked, gently and corrected, and once again, he could devote himself to God-given specific task, going out, proclaiming kingdom of God. The third person, another, also said, once again, he is one of Jesus' disciples. I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those at home. But Jesus said to him, no one, after putting his hand to the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Another typical modern-day Christian is here. He is once in now, passed entrance exam to Jesus' discipleship program, but something is lingering in his heart, in his mind. What is it? His family relationship and his family business back home still dragging his feet. So he took initiative, asked Jesus, I will follow you, but first permit me to say goodbye, take care of my business first. But to him, Jesus severely rebuked no one after putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Unlike the first disciple, Jesus did not encourage him, rather rebuked him. Only by name, disciple, by name, Christian, their mind is always with their family and family business, and their main primary business is not following Jesus' call. He is a person like wife of Lot, who against angel's command looked back what left behind her. Luxury, rich wealth she and her husband accumulated in Sodom. She looked back because where her heart was, where her treasure was, and she became cursed by God, became pillar of salt. Bible didn't say anything about the outcome of this encounter between this disciple and Jesus, but Jesus severely rebuked him and gave him verdict. No one. After putting his hand to the plow like you, but like you, looking back, is not fit for the kingdom of God. You cannot be my true disciple. Let us examine ourselves, where we stand. I wish, I hope, if we are worse, we could be the second person type, could be rebuked, chastised, but repent, and became single-hearted and undivided mind and follow Jesus' footsteps to be faithful to our calling, to proclaim verbally or silently by our good deeds and good behavior, kingdom of God and good news of Jesus Christ, who rescued miserable sinner from their sin and its misery. May the Lord, as He already elected us from eternity, called us, made us justified, righteous by punishing Jesus Christ, and adopted us His sons and daughters, continue, be gracious, merciful to us, by filling us with His empowering Holy Spirit, that we may be faithful to our call, true disciple of Jesus Christ, cheerfully, gladly, daily, carry our cross, and faithfully follow our cross-bearing Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for giving us once again this inspired word of God, making us to see how corrupt, self-centered our heart could be without Jesus' gracious revelation of our heart. Who in the world can know ourselves? Graciously, mercifully, fill us with empowering Holy Spirit that we may daily, humbly, cheerfully, gladly carry our own God-imposed cross and faithfully follow the footsteps of our victorious King and Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. In His name alone we pray. Amen.